Today's show in the Daf Yomi is Gemara in Baba Kama, Daf Tzadi Aleph. We're learning today Le'ilu Nishmas, Alan Rosenzweig's father, Julius Rosenzweig, Olav Shalom, Yehuda ben Avraham. All the Nishmas we learn for should have an aliyah from our learning. Today is Tu Bishvat, a special holiday for Eretz Yisrael and the fruits and produce of Eretz Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should grant the Chayalim the ability to protect Eretz Yisrael, to be successful in all of their endeavors, so we should be able to grow all the things we need to grow in the land of Eretz Yisrael in safety and security. We should bring back the Chatufim, Be'ezus Hashem, B'nheira, in good health, and there should be Shalom HaYisrael. Okay, we pick up the Gemara, Tzadi Aleph, Omud Aleph, with the words, Iboy Eluhu, the two dots, about 10-15 lines down from the top, Omud Aleph. The Gemara tells us the following Shaila, Iboy Eluhu, Yesh Omed L'Nizokin, O Ein Omed L'Nizokin. In yesterday's shiur, we talked about that when a person, Rahmanul Islam, kills somebody else, so you have to evaluate, is the arak, or the fist that he killed him with, was it capable of causing the actual murder, or was this something that was an unusual thing? He really didn't hit him hard enough, it wasn't an item that could have killed him. The person had an aneurysm, the person died of a heart attack, and it wasn't because that Reuven murdered Shimon, he hit Shimon, but it wasn't enough to make a murder. So that was the discussion we had yesterday, and today the Gemara continues that discussion. What about damage? Do you have to go and evaluate damage? Was the item that Reuven used to damage Shimon or Shimon's property, was it capable of causing such damage? Or no, we say automatically, you don't have to evaluate that. If damage occurred, that's it. End of the discussion. That's the Gemara's question. Yesh omed l'nizokin or ein omed l'nizokin? So Gemara says, mi amrinon l'ktalu d'amdinon. Do we say, like we did in yesterday's shiur, that you only evaluate did the item have a capacity to kill, but we don't have to go and do that for anything other than murder? With this item, it could have killed somebody. With this item, it could have not killed somebody. However, but in regards to damages, we don't have to do such an evaluation. If Reuven damaged Shimon, that's it. I saw Reuven damage Shimon. I don't have to evaluate, was the tool that he used to go and damage Shimon, Shimon's property, capable of doing so? Or not? Or do we say no? The halacha applies by murder, and it applies also by damage. You have to evaluate, could the tool that was used, could the way the damage was done, in fact, have inflicted such damage, or no? Was it somehow unrelated to the damage that actually occurred? So the Gemara is going to answer from the following Mishnah. This is a Mishnah that we learned previously on Daf Nun Omud Beis. Toshma, we learned over there. Ma bar. We specifically used the lashon of a bar. The Mefarshim explained that a bar is a circular type of a ditch, of a hole in the ground. There are other types of rectangular ditches or cracks in the ground where the same halacha applies. So it teaches us this. Ma bar, sheyesh bo kedei lahamis asar tzvachim, that a bar, by definition, for it to have the capacity to go and kill an animal, it has to be at least 10 tefachim deep. Again, the tefach is somewhere between 3.5 to 4 inches. So you're dealing with roughly about a little bit more than a yard, maybe a meter, maybe a little bit more than that. So if the depth is at least 10 tefachim, it has the capacity to go and kill. So av koshi yesh bo kidei lahamis asar tefachim. So it doesn't have to be only a bar, any sort of a hole in the ground, whether it's a rectangular hole or a ditch of some sort. If it has 10 tefachim deep, so then it has the capacity to go and kill. Now, the Mishnah there said, but if it was less than 10 tefachim tall, then nafalas ochoshor o chamor umeis, and then a donkey, a chamor, or a shor, or an ox fell into it and died, so then it didn't have the capacity to kill, and some other extrinsic factor caused the death of this shor or chamor, and therefore the owner of this pit is potter, doesn't have to pay. But that's only for Misa. Huzakbo, the Mishnah said, if the shor or the chamor got damaged, it broke its leg by falling into this pit that was less than 10 tefachim deep, then chayiv. Then the one who owns this ditch, the one who dug this ditch, this hole in the ground, is in fact going to go and be chayiv. Now, my love, isn't this Mishnah to be learned that it doesn't make any difference how much less than 10 tefachim it was? In other words, mimato lemalo kochoshiv. It could be 2 centimeters to 9.9 tefachim. So it could be a very small hole, the animal tripped in it, or it could be a deeper hole, but less than 10 tefachim. So that's it. You have to go and pay damages. Huzakbo, the Mishnah seems to be saying. V'ochi kamar, the Mishnah is telling us, it doesn't make a difference if it's only even one tefach, be tefach, one tefach, the adasara, up to 9.999 tefachim, up to 10 tefachim. So miselek, it won't have the capacity to kill if it's under 10 tvachim. However, nizokin ika, it does have the capacity to cause damage. And we don't have to evaluate, could it in fact have caused the broken leg? It was only 2 tvachim, it was 3 tvachim, it was 1 tvachim. No, you don't have to go and evaluate. By definition, nizokin ika, it has the capacity to do damage, and you don't have to evaluate it. And what do we see from this Mishnah? Alma l'nizokin kaldo. Shmamina ain't omdim l'nizokin. That you see from here that any amount of a hole in the ground can cause damage. We don't have to evaluate, could it or could it not cause the shor or the chamor to break its leg. And therefore, let us answer our question, that for damages, you don't have to do an evaluation. We just assume that if you saw Reuven damage Shimon, or Reuven's pit damage Shimon's ox, so then you have to pay for it. Which says, Lavdavka, no, low. Can't bring us a right from here. Because maybe it's talking mimalo lemato kochoshib. When the Mishnah tells us 10 tvachim is enough to cause misa, this is the way you have to go and read the Mishnah. Vachi komar. Asara, if the bar has at least 10 tvachim, so then misa ika could have 15, 20, 30 tvachim. So then misa has the capacity to cause misa ika. However, if it's pachos me'asara purta, if it's 9.9 tvachim, so then it can't cause misa. Misa leka. However, nizokin isa, misa leka. But it can cause damage. But if it's only 9.9, can it cause damage? Less than that, you have to go and evaluate. So nizokin isa, if it's a little bit less than 10, it can cause damage, albeit misa leka can cause misa. Uli olam, and in fact, emaloch, yesh omel nizokin. But if it's anything more than a little bit less than 10 tvachim, so if it's 9.5, 9, the Mora doesn't give us an exact number. But once you get below that porta, once you get a little bit smaller of a hole in the ground, then you know what? You have to go in and evaluate it. Ulolam emloch yesh omid l'nizokin. It's only this 9.9. Only it's a little bit less than 10, then it definitely can cause damage because it can't cause misa, but it can cause damage. But once you get much below that, again, Gemara doesn't define, the Mishnah doesn't define how much below that, but at some point below that, emloch yesh omid l'nizokin. You have to go evaluate. Could this cause a 5 tefach hole? Could it cause or could it not have caused the shor chamor to break its leg? V'chol midi umidi ki hechid imizaka bei ba'inan. You have to go and see. Did it or did it not have the capacity do this damage? So therefore, you could argue that this Mishnah, in fact, teaches us that there is an omer l'nizokin. Bottom line is, we can't tell from this Mishnah. Try again. Toshma. Try to answer the question, is there an omer l'nizokin or not? So we bring a raya from the following brisa. It says, he called Eino Vesimo, if the owner of an Eved Kanani hit the Eved Kanani on his eye and he blinded him, or Al Ozno Vechersho, or he hit him on his ear and he caused him to go deaf. So Eved Yotze Behem Lecheris. So this is the din of Shein Va'ayin, and the eye or the tooth, and the 24 Rashi Yavarim, which includes the ears. So therefore, if you cause this damage as the owner of the Eved Kanani, so the Torah tells us that the Eved Kanani then goes free. However, if you did Kineged Eino, but if you hit him near the eye, so some of the Mefarshim explain over here that we're dealing with that you, as Rashi says, he called Bikosel Kineged Eino Shozeh. You gave a zetz on the wall right near his eye, and you didn't actually hit him on the eye, but somehow he was startled and it made him go blind. And similarly, Kineged Ozno, you hit him on the wall near his ear and you made him go deaf, but you didn't actually hit him on the ear. It was the startling over here. He was shocked and surprised. This madness, you startled him, and then he wasn't able to hear Eino Shemea. Others have the explanation over here that you hit it on the other side of the wall. So the guy had his eye or his ear up against the wall, and you gave his zetz to the other side of the wall. So he didn't directly hit his eye or his ear, and that's how you caused this damage. In any event, the Braisa tells us, Ein Eved Yosef Ben L'Cheiris. This is not called the Din of Shein V'ayin or the Rosh Yevarim. And even though the master did this to his Eved Kanani, he didn't do it directly. And therefore, the Eved Kanani doesn't go free. Ein Eved Yotze Ben L'Cheiris. Now, why? My timer, why not? Isn't it because Lav Mishum Deboin Umdina? Isn't it because you have to go and assess the damage? You have to see, could this type of a blow have caused the damage or not? And since we'll say that in most people, this type of a blow wouldn't cause that damage, so therefore, even though he is blinded, even though he can't hear as a result of this blow, it normally doesn't cause such damage, and that's why he doesn't go free. So let's learn from this brisa that in fact there is an umdina that's required. You have to go and do an evaluation for nizakin. He says, no, that's not a raya either. Lo, why? Because mishum damrinan hu the avis nashe. That's because in this situation, the Eved Kanani, so to say, did it to himself because he was modest, because he was startled, because he was shocked by what happened. So he caused himself. It's like a psychiatric illness over here. He went and suddenly can't see. He went and suddenly can't hear from something that normally wouldn't do that based on the blow, on the noise itself. Because it wasn't a direct hit on him. And he himself caused this. Who? The Adis Nashe, because of this startling, this shock, he did it to himself. As we learned in the Brisa, Kidatanya, Hamavis is Chaver. If you go and scare somebody, you go and shock them and startle them, so part of it didn't yodum, chai b'din shemayim. So, me din adam, this is a groma b'nizokin. So, a basin can't go and require you to go pay for this. However, b'din shemayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows that you caused this. So, even though he was partially responsible, that's his psychic, that's his makeup, that he got so startled that now he has this trouble, but nevertheless, Medina Shemaim, you have to go and pay because you really caused this. Ketzad, what's the example of this? So talk Abiyazin L'Chersho. If you either hit the ear and made him deaf, but it doesn't literally mean that you hit him in the ear, as we pointed out previously, talk could mean that you just yelled in his ear or you gave him a type of blow that normally would not cause such a damage, but you didn't actually hit him in the ear. Here we're using the expression talk Abiyazin, not that he hit him in the ear, but that he like blew a shofar right by his ear. In this situation, L'Chersho, and there wasn't a direct damage over here, so then, Potter, you don't have to pay me dini adam. Of course, me dini shemayim, as we just pointed out, you have to pay. Now, if you actually went, however, achazo the talk b'yozo, if you grabbed his ear and then you blew in his ear, you blew the shofar right by his ear v'chayisho, and then you caused him to become deaf, in that situation, chayiv, you in fact do have to go and pay damages. And Rashi explains, because achazo is a maise didehu, you actually did a maise in this situation, and therefore it's not a grumma. The plane, the blowing in his ear, that's just a groba b'nizokim, and that's why you're potim b'dinayad, the mechayiv b'dinishamay. So again, we have no raya that you have to do an umdana. Try again. Again, we're trying to figure out, is there an umdana that you have to do an evaluation by nizokin or not? So Toshma, we learn the following braisa. It says, the chamisha dvarim, the nezek tzari pusheves and boshes that you have to pay, umdinoso b'noso lomiyad. So for some of them, specifically, Rashi points out that Nezek, Tsar, and Boshes, so those types of things, they're set amounts, and you go and pay them right away. You evaluate, and here's the critical word, you evaluate what was the Nezek, what is the Tsar, what is the Boshes, the Noslamiyad, and you have to go and pay that right away. And you see you need to do an Umdana. And only the Ripui and the Sheves, the doctor's bills, and the unemployment amount, then you have to see. We don't know how much the doctor bills are going to be. We don't know how much he's going to not be able to work. So Achi is Rapi. So that, you wait, you don't have to pay that right away. Now, what do you see over here? Amduhu, if they went and evaluated how much these things would be, voyah misnavne v'holech, and then they actually cost more because he was misnavne v'holech, means he got worse. So he originally thought the doctor's bills would be $1,000, or the unemployment would be $1,000. And then he was ending up being unemployed for a longer period of time, where the doctor's bills were more. So then, einos nom ela masha amduhu. Then, no, the original assessment, we say, was a real assessment, and here you see, clearly, you have to do an assessment. That's going to be the point of this brisa. You see that you have to do an assessment. So the original assessment was correct. And in this situation, the reason why it unfortunately took him longer to get better was his own fault, so to say. That is not considered a problem of the person who did the nezek. That's like his own mazel somehow caused this to happen. And therefore, it's his own fault. That's why he doesn't get more. Instead, alternately, amdua the Hivri, if they said that he would expect it to take this long to heal, but he healed faster. So then, again, it's his own constitution that somehow did this, his own zuchusin that somehow did this. So here, even though they said that he would be unemployed for 2 weeks, and he was only unemployed for 1 week, nevertheless, you pay him for the 2 weeks. No slow komash amdu. What do you see from here? The bottom line is that you have to estimate the evaluation of the damages. So therefore, shemamino yesh omen l'nizokin. So here you clearly see that there's an omen. You have to do an evaluation for the nizokin. So asked and answered. So he says, no. L'meimad gavra, to go and do an evaluation on the person himself, that nobody doubted. Kamaliktzar miyomako, kamalomiktzar, how long the guy is going to be able to work or not be able to work. So that's clear you have to do that. Nobody ever had a kasha. Lokum boilam, that never was a question. Of course you have to do that. Divadayam dinon, you have to go and evaluate what the damage was. So that never was a question. Everybody agreed to that. What was the question? Kikom Abaylan, the original question was, is there an umdana for nizakin? It was, l'meimad chetzo. Do you have to go and evaluate the item that caused the damage? Does that or does that not have to be capable of causing the damage that it did? Yavad ha'iniska, a low of it ha'iniska. Could it have done the damage or not? My, that was the original question, and that we still haven't answered. So we try again, and here we'll finally come to an answer. Toshma, we learned from the Braisa that we just had at the end of yesterday's shir, Shimon HaTimni, the machlokes that we had between Shimon HaTimni or Rav Shimon HaTimni, and the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. And Shimon HaTimni Omer, Shimon HaTimni said, Ma Egrov, based upon the pasuk that we had said, Obi Evan Ovi Egrov. So he had pointed out that if you took the Evan, more Egrov, miyuchod, shemosu, le'edim, le'edim, the fist is obviously going to be visible and available for them to go and judge and evaluate. Is this fist, the Edim have to do this, the basin has to do this? So is this fist capable of doing the damage or not? So afkol miyuchod, shemosu, le'edim, le'edim. You have to go do an evaluation of everything. Now, it doesn't only mean for Misa. Evan obiel grof means for any type of damage, according to Shimon HaTimni, shmamina yesh omed l'nizokin. So you clearly see you have to do an omed l'nizokin. Now the Mefarshim point out, it's not just the raya for Shimon HaTimni. Rabbi Kiva, who argued with Shimon HaTimni, only argued that does the Beis Din have to see this or not. But in fact, Shimon HaTimni and Rabbi Kiva are in agreement that somebody has to do the evaluation. So whereas Rabbi Kiva says it's enough if the Edim do the evaluation, Shimon HaTimni said it's not only Edim, but it's the Beis Din has to do the evaluation. That's where they Machlokas is, but everybody agrees, even Rabbi Akiva, that you have to do an evaluation for Nizakin. Oh, shmami no, that you have to do an evaluation. Amdinon l'nizakin. So that is the answer. Finally, Baruch Hashem, we got to it. Shmami no. Now the Gemara says, let's go back and dissect what we said previously. Omar mar amdu of hivri. In the case that we just brought down, where they evaluated that the person is going to take a certain amount of time to get better, a certain amount of money to be healed, and then it took more or it took less. So we said amdu of hivri, if they expected him to go, and let's say be 2 weeks unemployed, he's only unemployed for 1 week, they expected the doctor bills to be 1,000, they're only 500, so he gets the larger amount of money. Nosin lo kol masha amdu. Because as we had said, his own constitution, his own zuchusim, caused him to get better faster. And this is Messiah Lila Rabba. The understanding we had over here is in accord with what Rabba said. What did Rabba say? The Omer Rabba, Hai man di amdu l'kuli yoma. If the Beis Din evaluated somebody that he would be out of work for the entire day, and then the itpach, he suddenly got better, lepalgud yoma, after half the day, and now he's able to work the other half of the day. So you might have thought, well, the guy only has to pay for half the day is being out of work, so the ka'avit avirita, and since he's able to do the work, yavina le the kuliyoma, nevertheless, we give him the entire day's work, even though he technically was, given the evaluation for the entire day being out of work, even though he went to work half the day. So the answer is, this is in accordance with what we just said, min shma Yehudu rachmei aleh. God, so to say, had his zechusim for this guy, got him better faster. But no, he really was supposed to be out of work the entire day. That was the evaluation, and therefore he gets the full day's unemployment benefit paid to him. Okay. Then we quote our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said, "Rokak, if somebody spit at you, the Yibo Rok, the Hevri Vechule, and the Rok actually, as we explained from the Gemara over here, when we read the Mishnah, if the Rok actually goes on his guf, on his body, so then it's a very big busha, and you have to pay the penalty, the 400 zuz that our Mishnah spoke about. Now, the Gemara now discusses this a little bit more, and the Gemara says, if that is true, that you have to pay the 400 zuz, it's only if the roke, if the spittle, actually went on his physical body. Lo shanu ela bo, it actually had to land on him. That's the busha. But avo be big though, if it lands on his clothing, and machlokas amongst the poskim, does he have to be wearing the clothing or not wearing the clothing? Maybe if he's wearing the clothing, it's like bo. It's only if he's not wearing the clothing. Others say, no, even if he's wearing the clothing, it's not so embarrassing. Avo be big though, lo, you don't have to go and pay. That's what Rapapa said. No, the one says, v'neve ki b'yesh bidvarim. So how is this any different than if somebody insulted somebody and embarrassed them publicly? Why is spitting on the clothing any less than if you verbally embarrass somebody? Shouldn't they both be considered the same and you should have to pay? So one says, no, you see from here, Ami Maravin, they said in Eretz Yisrael, Mishmei the Rav Yossi Maravin, in the name of Rav Yossi Maravin, and you see from here, Zosa Meris, we see from this din that not only is on the clothing, if the spirit went on the clothing, but if you verbally embarrass somebody, by shubidvarim, part to be klum, there is no payment that you have to go and make, at least not in Beis Din. Obviously, you can't go and embarrass somebody. Embarrassing somebody in public is a terrible, horrible thing for a person to do. And it says, according to some, there's a famous Tosus in Sota on Daf Yud that tells us that this is one of the cardinal sins that technically a person should, we learned this from Tamar, she was willing to throw herself to the Kivshon HaEsh rather than embarrass somebody. So it's Yehari Vayavar, according to some. So certainly this is not, when he says over here, Potu Miklum, it doesn't mean that you're allowed to do this. Chas V'Sholom, you're never allowed to embarrass somebody. It's just that, can you or can you not take somebody to base and make them take a financial penalty for embarrassing? So the answer to that is no. Okay, then we quote the Mishnah. We said, Hakol v'chol v'chule. This penalty that you pay, we said, is the amounts that we said in our Mishnah, we said, is based upon the status of the person. So now the question is, did we in the Mishnah give us the status for the poorest person and a rich person would be much more, or was the Mishnah telling us the payments for a rich person and a poor person would be less? So is it Lekula or Lechumra? That's the Gemara's question. Tanakama Lekula Kamar or Lechumra Kamar? When we stated these amounts in the Mishnah, were they for a poor person and therefore it's a much bigger penalty for a rich person, or was this for a rich person, a harsh of a person, and it's much lower penalty for a poor person? Do we say Lekula Kamar Diko Oni the low boy Lemishka Kulihai, that this is really a kula that our Mishnah is saying that was giving us the greatest amount that you'd ever have to pay for the most harsh of a guy in the world? That's the amount that you pay, but everybody else it's less, and therefore it's a kula that the Tana of our Mishnah is telling us, or not, or maybe not. Odumo luchumru kamar diko asher the boy lemeitzav leitvei. Our Mishnah is telling us for the poorest person in the world, this is what you pay, and if it's a really harsh of a guy, you're going to pay much, much more, and therefore it's luchumra. That's the question. Tashma ring a right from the Mishnah itself, because Rabbi Akiva argues with the opinion of the Tana Kama, and Rabbi Akiva says, "Me the kama, Rabbi Akiva." We view even the poorest person in the world as being a rich person that lost their money, because we're all the children of Shem B'nei Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov. So therefore, what do you see clearly from Rabbi Akiva? He said that this payment that we're making over here is for a poor person. And we view every single person in Chai as if they were once rich, and now that they're considered poor, but they once were rich, so we view everybody as the children of Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov. So therefore, this amount is for the poorest of people. That's what Rabbi Akiva is saying. And therefore, this Mishnah is actually coming to teach us a big chumrah according to Rabbi Akiva, but a kula according to the Tanakama. So therefore, Shmami no, Tanakama, Lekula Kama. The Tanakama is saying, no, this amount is for a rich person. Rabbi Akiva says, no, even a poor person gets this amount. So Rabbi Akiva is going lechumrah, and therefore the Tanakama is going Lekula Shmami no. That's a good raya. Then we quote the Mishnah, the Maisa Shohaya, that interesting story where the person had pulled off the sheitel, the tichel of a woman, and we made Rabbi Akiva possible that he has to pay 400 zuz, and the person said, this lady doesn't really care about this, and he had the whole setup to go and prove that she would even take off her sheitel or tichel for a small an isa's worth of oil, and Rabbi Akiva said, that doesn't count. That's not anything, because the person's allowed to go and embarrass themselves, and the person's allowed to damage themselves if they want. So now we're going to have a question. Umi ahin was yavinon zman. We said in that story that the person said to Rabbi Akiva, listen, can I don't have the 400 zuz right now, I'll wait a little bit to pay. So is that true? In the Mishnah we had said that, and I had already explained this when we did the Mishnah, so I got it from the Gemara over here. And the Gemara said, Umi havinan zman. When Rabbi Akiva was asked by this person, no, I can't pay right now, I'll pay in a little bit, Rabbi Akiva said, okay, I'll give you a little bit of time. So this way the person was able to set up his act of trying to show that this woman didn't really care about being embarrassed. So Gemara says, "V'amar Rabbi Chanina, ain't no stin zman lechavolos. This was damaged, and we normally don't give any time when you damage somebody else. So why did Rabbi Akiva give him time?" So the answer is, "Kilo yavina lezman. When do we not give time? When is the halacha that you have to pay right away? That's only true lechavolo dechasre mamonim. That's when you cause the actual financial loss to the person. So he's out now, $100. You got to pay him right away." In regards to boshes, that's a penalty that you have to pay. He didn't lose any money. He just was embarrassed. So you have to compensate him for being embarrassed. Ala boshes, lo chasri mamona. He didn't actually lose money. So Yavin, and then the Beis Din has the right. They'll give him time if they think it's appropriate. Then in the story, it said, Shemara, he waited there until she came to her yard. And then he waited till he broke a jug there. He knew that she would take off her shetel to go and not have this little bit of oil go to waste. And therefore, he had the witnesses there, and he came to Rabbi Akiva and said, look, this woman's not afraid to embarrass herself, and you're making me pay $400 because I embarrassed her. And Rabbi Akiva responded and said, no, your words are nothing. Now, Gemara says, well, Tanya, the Braitsa that we're now going to bring down is a little bit different than the Lashon of the Mishnah. In our Mishnah, it said that you're not allowed to go and embarrass yourself. You're not allowed to go and damage yourself. No, but if you did, there's no penalty. And here in the Braitsa, it's going to say that it is allowed to embarrass yourself, allowed to go and damage yourself, and that'll be the steer. So what's the Braitsa? The Braitsa says, well, Tanya, Amal Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says in this Braitsa, in this response to the same story, Solauto b'may madir. He tells this person who set up the witnesses to show that she would take off her tichel even for an isar, a very small amount of shemen, and he says, you plummeted the depths of the river. Solauto b'may madir. You went down to the bottom of the water, so to say, looking for pearls, like you're a pearl diver, ve'aleisa cheres biyotcha. And all you brought up was cheres. In other words, you didn't bring up any pearls. In other words, you went to all the trouble to set this all up, and it was worthless. It didn't accomplish anything. Why? Because Adam Rashoi Lachvol Biatzmo, because you have the right to go and damage yourself. Now here, the Lashon that he uses is Adam Rashoi Lachvol Atzmo. You're allowed to go and damage yourself. Now, in the Mishnah, we said a person is not allowed to go damage themselves. No, but if they did, there's Potter. So we have a stira between the Mishnah, which said you're not allowed to damage yourself, and here in the Brice, it says Rashoi Lachvol Biatzmo. That's the question that we're asking. So I'm a Rava Lokasha. Rava says it's not a stira between the Mishnah and this Brice, because they're talking about two different things. Kam Bechavala, the Mishnah is talking about actual damage. So there it says you're not allowed to do that. Whereas in the Brice, it's talking about Boshas, Kam Boshas. And Boshas, a person is allowed to humiliate himself if they wish to do so. So therefore, there's no stira between the Mishnah and the Brice. He says, what are you talking about? For Mastis and Boshas. Our Mishnah is talking about Boshas. It's talking about uncovering her hair in public. So that's Boshas. That's not actual damage. And we turn to Tzadi Aleph. And nevertheless, Uktani, it said, Hachovo Biaso, Afo Pisha in Urashai, Potter. So, nevertheless, the Mishnah says, you're not allowed to do this. So, they're both talking about the same thing. You can't say that the Mishnah and Brisa talk about different things. So, how can you tell me that there's a different thing in the Mishnah and the Brisa? It seems to be a stira in Rabbi Akiva. Shmuel says, no, it's not a stira. Hachi Kormale. This is what Rabbi Akiva was saying to the man. Lo mi boi boshes. It is not only in regards to boshes. The other Rashai Levayish is asking, everybody agrees a person, if he wishes to, can go embarrass themselves. There's no dinner. There's no isser involved. It's stupid. A person shouldn't do so. Chavetz Chaim, the famous Chavetz Chaim, he once spoke disparagingly about himself. And he was sitting on a train with a person, and the person came up to him and said, where are you going? He says, I'm going to Radin. He was returning to his hometown. And the person said, oh, you're going to visit the great Chavetz Chaim. And the Chavetz Chaim says, he's not such a great person. No, the guy was very upset that he denigrated the Chavetz Chaim, didn't realize that this was the Chavetz Chaim, and he gave him a zetz. He told him, how dare you denigrate the Chavetz Chaim? No, Chavetz Chaim continues going on the train. The person goes on the train. They get to town. Everybody comes out to greet the Chavetz Chaim. And the person sees that this was the Chavetz Chaim. And he falls on the floor. He begs the Chavetz Chaim, I'm so sorry. I hit you. I didn't mean to. I was just standing up for your cover. And Chavetz Chaim said, you're 100% correct. I was wrong. Now I'll even tell Lashon Hara about yourself. So you're not allowed to go and even disparage yourself. But the din is that there technically, Adam Rashai Levayish is asking, if a person wishes to put himself down, he's allowed to do so. And that is therefore what Rabbi Akiva was saying. The Adam Rashai Levayish is asking, El Afilu Chavola, the Ein Adam Rashai Lechval Beatzvo, but for damages, which technically in the Mishnah he said, you're not allowed to go do it yourself. Nevertheless, Acherim Shechavim Bo Chayav, other people, if they were to do what you did, well, you would not be Chayav, they would be Chayav. Where now questions this and says, really? There ain't other Mashai Lach will be at all. Now you're explaining Rabbi Kiva that a person is not allowed to go damage himself. Is that really true? But Tanya, we have another Brisa. Now this Brisa is dealing with Nedarim, and the person goes and makes a neder that he's going to do something negative. So, but Tanya, Yacho Nishba Lohara Biatzvo, if a person's made a neder that he's going to go and do something negative, Lohar Rabbi Atzmo, hurt himself in some way, and then he doesn't fulfill his neder, Lohera, you might think in that situation, Yei Potter, that he's not considered in violation of his neder. So Talmud Omer, he is in violation of his neder because the Pasuk says, O Nefesh Kisi Shava Levati Biswasaim Lohara O Lehetiv. So he said, I'm going to do bad to myself or I'm going to do good to myself if you don't fulfill what you said. Ma'atava Rishutz, just like you're allowed to go do good for yourself, so too over here, Avhora Rishutz. It means you have an option of doing bad to yourself. So in this situation, a person is going to be over the net if they don't do what they said. So Avi Nishba Lohara Biyatzvo Velohera. So this includes, in this violation of your nether, somebody who said that they would do something negative to themselves if they didn't do it. So then they're over the nether. So this implies, for example, that if a person said, I'm going to go damage myself, and he doesn't damage himself, then he's over his nether. So obviously, you are allowed to damage yourself. So how can you say that Rabbi Kiva says, Adam eino rashoi lachvo bi'atzmo? Shmuel says, no, because he's not talking about physically damaging himself directly. Amar Shmuel, Shmuel explains, the eishev b'tainis. You know what we're talking about over here? That the man said, I will not eat food for the next 24 hours. He's taking upon himself a tainis. No, that's going to be lahara. That's not good for the person. But the bottom line is, since he's saying over here, I will not eat, so that's not causing physical damage to himself, and that's not a contradiction to Rabbi Akiva, who says the ain't other mashal lachbo biatzmo. Not eating is different than causing direct physical damage to yourself, and that's how Shmuel says that this brisa is not a stira to Rabbi Akiva. But then Morris says, keep on going, keep on reading that brisa. The kavasa gabe haroa sacherim, in regards to a person making sure that he's going to do something good or something bad to somebody else. So if you're telling me the first part of Raisa is talking about sitting in Tainus, Beishim of Tainus, that's what it means, Lohara. So the Gavos say, in regards to Gabi Haras, I'm going to hurt somebody else, it means Loshivim of Tainus? I'm going to make somebody else go into a Tainus? How can I do that? Acherim, Mimosiv Lo B'to Anisa. How can I make somebody else not eat? Shmuel says, no, you could, easily, in the Mahadeg Lehu Bin Druna. Rachman al-Lisan, if somebody's held captive, right, the Chatufim, Nebuchadnezzar, Hashem should be Merachim on them and let them get out already. So these people, they're not being served food. They could be held starving. So Rachman al-Lisan, the Mahadik Lu Bin Druna, if you want to go Lahara to somebody else and not feed them, so yes, you can make them not eat. You can, quote, put them in a tinus by not letting them eat, by locking them in a room without food. So therefore, maybe that's what it does mean. The beginning means, lohara means that you'll eshba, that you'll be in a tainus, beishet b'tainus, and when you're going to be a lohara with somebody else, it means, I'm not going to let you eat, I'm going to lock you in a room and not give you food. Mar says, that can't be, because v'tanya, that brisa continues and says, ezehu haroa sachem. It defines there what is going and doing something negative to somebody else. For example, if the guy says, akeploni, I will give him a zetz, I'll hit him. The etzas mocho, I'm going to give him a zetz in his head, I'm going to break open his skull. So that's talking about physical damage. So mistama, if the sefer is talking about physical damage, so too the reish is talking about physical damage. And you can't answer as Shmuel did when it says lahara that I will go and be beishet b'tainus. That's not it. It has to be a physical damage. So what do you see? Again, the Braiser does seem to say that Adam is rashoi lachbo b'yatzmo, and it's a kasha on Rabbi Akiva who says ain Adam rashoi lachbo b'yatzmo. Shmuel says you're 100% right. Ultimately, elu tanoihi. There are two different opinions as to what Rabbi Akiva's opinion was. We have our Mishnah where he says ain Adam rashoi lachbo b'yatzmo, and we have the Braisa that says Adam rashoi lachbo b'yatzmo. So we actually have a machlokas in what was Rabbi Akiva's shita, and therefore elu tanoihi. Dikalaman diomar ain Adam rashoi lachbo b'yatzmo. We have the Tana of our Mishnah who says that Rabbi Akiva's opinion is that you're not going to go and be chovel on yourself, and then we have the Tana of the Braisa. Dikalaman diomar Adam rashoi is the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. No, who is the author that says Adam Rashai Lachwo Biatzwo? That's the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. Mantana de Shomaslay Omar ain't Adam Rashai Lachwo Biatzwo. Who is this Tana who holds that this is Rabbi Akiva's opinion? So we're going to give several suggestions. Someone says maybe it's the following Tana. Ilemo Hai Tanu. Maybe it's a Tana of the following Brisa. The Tanya we learned in this Brisa. The pasuk says that Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to hold you accountable if you commit suicide. Rachmona litzlan. The ach es dimchem l'nafsho sechem edrosh. Rachmona litzlan, a person commits suicide, so he thinks Nebuch, sometimes people are sick, they don't understand, they're in such tsar that they go and commit suicide, they think, oh, that will end things. No, it won't, because you have all eternity. Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to be doresh dimchem. You committed suicide. It's no different than if you committed a homicide. Suicide is a type of homicide. So therefore, the ach es dimchem l'nafsho sechem edrosh. Now, Rabbi Elazar Omer, miyad nafsho sechem edrosh es dimchem. Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to hold you accountable for committing suicide. Now, maybe you can bring a raya from here that just like a person isn't allowed to commit suicide, a person isn't allowed to damage themselves. Oh, so this must be the man d'yomar that says, ain adam rashoi lachbo b'yatzmo. This is the man d'yomar of our Mishnah that says a person is not allowed to go and damage himself. So the Gemara says, no, not necessarily so. B'dilmok tolu shiny. Maybe you could say suicide is different than damaging. Suicide is murder. Suicide is killing yourself. So to kill yourself, that is usur. But who says to damage yourself, that would necessarily also be usur. So while we certainly can't prove that it's not the opinion of Rabbi Elazar, but we certainly can prove that it is the opinion of Rabbi Elazar. Okay, so try again. Elohai Tanu. Maybe it's the following Tana that holds, like the Tana who explained Rabbi Akiva in our Mishnah, that ain Adam Rashoi Lachbo B'yatzmo. Maybe it's this Tana, the Tana we learned in this Braisa. Mikor Nelemeis. The Tana Kama says, you're allowed to go and tear your garments. Nebuch, if a person loses somebody and they're feeling terrible, so they would rip the garments. Not talking about just the kriya that we do when you hear the news, but they go and rip a garment. Mekaren alemes. Now, below midak yomari, that's not considered following the chukos ha'akum. That's not considered du'akei ha'amari, doing what the goyim do, because the pasuk says, you're not allowed to go follow what they do, but this is not considered under normal circumstances your emotional state, and you go rip your garment, that's allowed. But Amar Rabbi Elazar, here Rabbi Elazar tells us, Shamati Shamekareya Alames Yoser Midai. But if you do it excessively, more than you, quote, would be allowed to, so then, Lo Kemishum Baltashas, then you are over Baltashas. Oh, now let's bring a riot. The Rabbi Elazar says that if you're ripping your clothing, it's Baltashas, it's an Isser, so Allah has Kama Vakama, Vakosha Ken Gufo. certainly, if you go and damage yourself, so that's not allowed. Oh, Rabbi Elazar, it must be the Tana who explains Rabbi Akiva that ain't Rashai Odom Lachbo Biatzmo. Oh, that must be it. Where it says, maybe not. Bedumo Begodim Shiny. Maybe clothing is different. Why? Because when you rip clothing, the Pseida, the Lo Hoderhu, it will not restore itself. It will not be unripped. It won't sew itself up automatically. Yes, you might be able to sew it up, but you probably won't ever be able to do as good a job as it was originally. And therefore, it's something that is irrevocable. It's something that is irreparable. As opposed to, if a person scratches himself or does damage to the skin, it will heal. Right? We've all had cuts. We've all had little bumps and bruises. And, you know, 5 years later, you would have no idea all the bumps and bruises you had on your arm or on your leg. They heal, Baruch Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made such a beautiful body for us. We have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu so much that we can heal ourselves. We have these serious injuries. Some of the chayalim, rachmona litzlan, they hurt so badly, and yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu can heal them and give our bodies the ability to heal ourselves. So this is something that there's a difference between clothing. So the person's clothing is ripped forever, but the person's body can in fact restore itself, and therefore maybe there's a difference between damaging yourself and damaging your clothing. Yeah, the clothing you're not allowed to do because that's irrevocable. And your body, it's not irrevocable, and therefore you'd be allowed to damage it, possibly. And I'll show you that this is right. Ki hod, Rav Yochanan is famous. We're in Shabbos. Kori limani, he called his clothing mechabdusa. Why do you call it mechabdusa? So Rashi over there says, shemechabdin baleim. The clothing make the man. The person's wearing nice clothing. So then that makes him a more chash of a person. That's why we dress up on Shabbos. What do we wear nice clothing for? HaKadosh Baruch Hu really cares about the clothing? So the answer is yes. The clothing shows chashivos. When you wear nice clothing for Shabbos, you're honoring the Shabbos. So when a person wears nice clothing, they're honoring themselves. So therefore, he would call his clothing mechabdusa, that which honors me. And Rav Chisda, when Rav Chisda was walking amongst the Hizmei and Hizgei, Rashi tells us over there in the Gemara in Sukkah, is Mines. Now, these are types of thorn bushes. So he's walking amongst the thorns and the thistles, and they would go and rip his clothing. So therefore, he would lift up his clothing. He would lift up the cloak that he was wearing, and therefore, when the thorns and the thistles would rub against him, they wouldn't rub against his clothing. They would rub against his shins, against his legs, and he would say, Omar, my legs will heal. Whereas this garment will not heal. It's going to get ripped, and then I won't have this garment. So therefore, I'd rather go and ruin my legs, which will get better, rather than this garment, which would be an irrevocable loss. So here you clearly see that maybe one could differentiate between destroying clothing, and you can't say that Vakosha can gufo. So therefore, this isn't necessarily the Tana over here, Rabbi Elazar, that would say, and be the author that says, Rabbi Kiva says, Ein Adam Rashoi Lachbo Biatzmo. So try again. Where it says, Elo Hai Tanahu. It's the Tana of the following Brisa, the Tanya of Rabbi Elazar HaKapar Beribi. Rabbi Elazar HaKapar, whose Beribi is the term Gadol Ador, Rashbahag, Shlita. So Rabbi Elazar HaKapar, the great Rabbi Elazar HaKapar, brings down the following Pasuk. Ma Tamaloma, why does the Pasuk tell us, and this is in regard to a person who's a Nazir, and it says that he did a sin. So the Pasuk says, V'chiper Olav, he has to bring a Kapara, Me'asher Chato Ala Nofesh, because he did a sin on his body. Now, what did he do with the sin on his body? The guy is a Nazir. Isn't that a good thing? So, what sin did he do? So, we have the famous answer, by becoming a Nazir, he was forbidden to have grapes or grape products, like wine. And that's a tsar on his body. So, therefore, Rabbi Elazar Kapar says it's a kavuchomer. If the Nazir, who just forbid himself from having grape and wine, if he is considered as tzir atzmo, as he's causing himself distress, and he's called the chote, nikra chote, as a result of that. So certainly, hamitzar atzmo we call dover. If you go and actually physically damage your body, alas kama v'kama, certainly that would be something that would be forbidden. Ah, we see from here that Rabbi Elazar HaKapar, he is the one who holds the opinion of Rabbi Akiva is, ein adam rashai lachbo bi'atzmo, and he learns it out from Nazir. If you can't even forbid yourself from having grapes and wine, so much more so, you can't go and physically damage yourself. Oh, so we found out the Tana, who holds, like, the opinion of Rabbi Akiva in our Mishnah, that ein adam rashai lachbo bi'atzmo. Then we said in the Mishnah, likewise, you're not allowed to go cut down trees. Hakotzeis nitioso v'chule. Person cuts down his own trees, his own saplings. So no, he's not supposed to do that, but he doesn't have to pay. But if somebody else cuts them down, of course they have to pay. Now we'll learn a couple of dinim about cutting down fruit-bearing trees or cutting down trees in general. So Mor says, Tani Rabo bar Barachana kamei d'Rav. Rabo bar Barachana learned the following brisa in front of his Rebbe Rav, and he said, Shori harakta. If a person Reuven says to Shimon, "Hey, you killed my ox," or he says, "Nitiosai kotsatsa." Reuven says to Shimon, "Hey, you cut down my saplings, and you have to pay me for my ox, respectively, or for my saplings." And what does Shimon reply? Shimon says, "Ato amartuli lahargo." What are you talking about? You're blaming me for killing your ox? You told me to kill your ox. What are you blaming me over here for cutting down your sapling? Ato amartuli lakotso. You told me to cut it down. And the Braisa concludes, Potter. In this situation, Shimon is going to be Potter. His taina is believed when he says to Reuven, "You told me to kill your ox. You told me to cut down your sapling," and he's believed. That's the Braisa that Rabbi Barba Chana quoted in front of Rav. And Rav tells him, "Impossible." Amalei, Rav says to Rabbi Barba Chana, "If what you're saying is true, if you're quoting this Braisa the way you just did, accurately, Im Kain, Lo Shavakta Chai Libriosa, then you're not giving any opportunity for a person to live then." Because what we've basically done, if the litigant can argue, anytime he does damage, anytime he does something wrong, "You told me to do so," so then you'll never ever have a litigation. So, kol kamine, is it really believable? If the person says, "You told me to do it," then, punter, then he's automatically believed? Every time Reuven accuses Shimon of something, Shimon will say, "You told me to do it." And we all of a sudden believe that, and there'll never be any litigation. So you're not leaving any life to people. Lo shavakta chaye lebriyasa. You can't have life like this because there never can be a society, because the person can always say, "You told me to do it." No, so Rabbi Barba Chana hears this very, very good response of his Rebbe Rav. So Amalei says to his Rebbe, "Esmaye, should I remove this from my girsa? Should I remove this from my list of rices that I teach people? Because obviously it's incorrect." So Rav tells him, "No, it's not incorrect. You just have to add to it. Amalei lo, you don't have to remove it. You just have to understand it a little bit better and explain it in the following way. Tisar game, you have to go and explain the braisa, masnisuch, your braisa, bishar ha'omed lahariga. You can't just say, if Reuven says to Shimon, you killed my shar, and Shimon says, well, you told me to do so, that he's potter. It's specifically talking about a shar haniskal. This shar was belonging to Reuven. Reuven's shor had killed somebody. It was passed in the basin that this shor is to be niskal. And now Shimon says to Reuven, you told me to kill the shor. Then in that situation is believed. And likewise, Ubi Elam, we're dealing here with, Rashi says, a tree that was either worshipped as an Asherah tree, or it was potentially leaning over into the Shusarab and was going to fall down and could cause damage. And therefore, this tree has to be cut down. And it's Ubi Elam, Omei L'Ketzitza that they're talking about. And that's why Reuven says to Shimon, you killed my shor haniskal, or you killed my Asherah tree, or my tree that was causing public damage. And Shimon said, well, you told me to cut it down. You told me to go kill it. Because it was allowed to be killed. It was supposed to be killed. It was required to be cut down, this tree. And therefore, that's why in this situation, Shimon is believed. Or says, okay, in that case, Ihachi, Maika Toile. In that situation, what is Reuven's taina that you killed my shor, you killed my sapling? The shor is a shor haniskal. It's not worth anything. This is a tree that has to be cut down. It's a Asherah tree. It's not worth anything. It's a tree that's going to damage the public. It has to be cut down. So why is Reuven tining that you have to pay me for my shor? You have to pay me for my tree. They're worthless. So Gemara says, no. You know what Reuven is saying? You took my mitzvah of killing this shor. You took my mitzvah of chopping down this tree, and that's what you have to pay me for. It's like a kenas. If somebody steals somebody else's mitzvah, we have the famous Gemara in Brachos. Somebody was supposed to lead the benching, and somebody else did. So there are four brachas in the benching, so you have to pay him 10 zuz for each bracha. So that he stole from him, so to say. Reuven is tiny to Shimon. I wanted to kill my shor. I wanted to go and cut down my sapling because they were a mitzvah to cut them down. The Tanya's, we're in the Braisa. Now here we quote the Pasuk with Kisi Adam. The Pasuk tells us that if a person wants to go and shecht a non-domesticated animal, one of the chayos or a kosher bird, so it says, Asher yotzu tzayid chaya o'of, asher yochel. So what does he have to do? V'shofach hezdomo, he goes and shechts the animal, either the chaya or the o'of. The blood goes on the ground, and then it says v'chisahu be'ofar. And he then has to do kisi adam. So that's the braisa that we're now quoting, the Tanya. V'shofach v'chisahu. It really should be v'shofach v'chisahu. I don't know why it says v'chisahu. I didn't see anybody over here point this out, but the pasuk says v'chisahu. In any event, the person who does the shvicha, the one who did the shchita, he has the right to go and do the kisui hadam. It's his mitzvah. Misha shafach yichasa, the one who did the shechita and spilled the blood, so he has the right to go and do the kisui hadam. And if somebody else steals that mitzvah of kisui hadam from you, then they have to pay you for it. A person did the shechita on his either his chay or his ov, and somebody else jumped along and did the kisui hadam. They called mechaver v'chisa. Oh, this was then litigated, was brought to court. V'chiva Rabban Gamliel litin lo asar zehuvim. He made him pay 10 zehuvim. Like I said, the Gemara in Brachos, where for each bracha of the four brachas of benching, he made him pay 10 zuzim, total of 40 zuzim. So the standard going price, if you stole somebody's mitzvah, is 10 zehuvim. So that's what our case is with Reuven and Shimon. Reuven had forgotten, Rashi says, that he in fact had told Shimon, you go kill my shore, go cut down my sapling. He had forgotten that he told him that. So that's why we believe Shimon, because this is such an unusual case. Why would Shimon not be believed in this situation, say, hey, you told me to do this? So it must be that Reuven forgot, and that's the argument, and that's why we believe Shimon. But in a regular case where Reuven says to Shimon, you killed my oxen, and Shimon says, no, I didn't, of course he has to bring a raya one way or the other, but he's not going to be put there just by saying, you told me to do this. Okay, the Gemara goes right there and tells us, Amar Rav, Rav tells us, Dikla Ditoin Kaba also Limitse, telling us again about the Isser of cutting down a fruit-bearing tree. So if this palm tree still has within it, it's old and it's not really producing much, but as long as it still produces a kab, a certain measure of dates, so then it's also to cut it down. It's still considered a fruit-bearing tree, and you can't cut it down. Where it says, wait a second, you're telling me it's a kav? Meisvei, but we have elsewhere, kamo yehei bizayis lo yikitsotsu rova. The same question is asked in regards to an olive tree, and there it says, as long as it produces a rova kav, a quarter of a kav, not a full kav, so then you're not allowed to cut it down. So it seems to be a stira. Rav says, for a palm tree, for the dates, it has to produce a kav. But for the olive tree, we said it's only a rova kav. Why aren't they the same? So where it says, no, because shiny zesim the chashivi, because zesim are worth much more. So even if it only produces a rova kab, that's still considered a fruit-bearing tree when it comes to olives. But for dates, in order to be considered significant, it has to produce a kav's worth of dates. Furthermore, Amar Ruchanina, Ruchanina says, Lo shachiv shivchas beri ella dekotz teinasa belo zimna. Actually, in the Gemara in Bava Kama says that shivchas beri, Kach Shimo, that's his name. As a machlokes, what does Rashi mean? Does it mean that Shivchas Bari was the name, or the Shivchas, my son? In either event, Rabbi Chanina is bemoaning that this person, Shivchas Bari, either Shivchas Bari was the name, or Shivchas, his son, Nebuch, died. He was a tzaddik, and he only died because the cuts teinasa below Zimna. He cut down this fig tree before its time. Now, there are those poskim that bring down here that he cut it down behetter. But even when you have a heter to cut down a fig tree, one should be very careful about cutting down fig trees or any fruit-producing tree, especially in Eretz Yisrael, but all over the world. And again, today is Tu B'Shvat, so appropriate that we're learning a din of cutting down fruit-producing trees. In Eretz Yisrael especially, we understand the significance of the Zayin Minim, the Shevach that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put into the land of Eretz Yisrael, our land of Eretz Yisrael, and we should therefore treat it very seriously. And therefore, there are those poskim that bring down that even beheter, one should be very, very reluctant to cut down a fruit-bearing tree. In any event, the Gemara continues and says, Om Ravina, there is an exception to the rule. If the wood is more valuable than the tree, the fruit that the tree produces, so then you'd be allowed to cut it down for the wood. So you have, let's say, a tree, it's an older tree already, it's a shvacha tree. It produces more than a rova kav of olives, or it produces a kav's worth of dates, but it doesn't really produce much more than that. So you actually would be able to sell it for much more for the firewood, for the making it into a bench or a table, so you'd be allowed to cut it down. That's what Ravina tells us. And the Braisa supports Ravina. The Braisa says, Rak Eitz Asher Teda. The Pasuk tells us, Rak Eitz Asher Teda, Kilo Eitz Macholhu, Osu Sashchis V'charosa. Then when you're going to siege an enemy city, so you have to be careful not to cut down both fruit-bearing trees, and even non-fruit-bearing trees. So we dash in the pasuk in the following way. Rak eitz asher teida ze'ilin maichol. That's talking about a fruit-bearing tree. Ki lo eitz macholhu, and it's not a fruit-bearing tree, ze'ilin strak. That's a non-fruit-bearing tree. You're not allowed to cut either of them down. Nu, the Gemara says, Nu, v'chi miachash, shesofel rabos kodover. You're not allowed to cut down a fruit-bearing tree, so You're also not allowed to cut down a non-fruit-bearing tree. Why do you have to tell us both? So, matam lomer ki lo eitz machol. Why does it have to tell me that part of the pasuk? So, the Gemara answers, lahakdim srak lemaichol. Come to teach us a precedence, a hierarchy. If you have a choice, you need some wood, and you have to cut down either a fruit-bearing tree or a non-fruit-bearing tree, much, much better to cut down the non-fruit-bearing tree than the fruit-bearing tree. We turn to Sadi Bey's Omen Aleph. I might have thought, Yochel Afilu Me'ula B'domim, I might have said that even if the non-fruit-bearing tree should be cut down, even if the fruit-bearing tree is actually worth more for the wood, so I might have thought, no, you always cut down a non-fruit-bearing tree first and only afterwards cut down a fruit-bearing tree. How do we know that, no, if the fruit-bearing tree is much more valuable for its wood than the non-fruit-bearing tree, that you're allowed to cut down the fruit-bearing tree in that situation? Talmud Lomi, because it uses a miut of rock. Rashi says, miut hakdoma. So in this situation, you'd be allowed to go and cut down the fruit-bearing tree if the wood there is worth much more. And that's a riot to what we brought down. And again, as I pointed out, some of the poskim, based upon the story of Rabbi Chanina and his son Shivchas, even when it is permitted, one should be very careful about cutting down a fruit-bearing tree. Finally, we have two more stories. Shmuel, Aisile Arise Tamre. Shmuel's sharecropper, his aris, brought to him some tvarim, some dates. And Shmuel ate them. Ochil, Toyim Behu Taimod Dechamra. He ate these dates, and he tasted within a certain taste of wine was in these dates. So he asked him, I'm like, my hi, how come these dates taste a little bit like they have wine? So the sharecropper responded, and he said, Amale, Deni Gufne Kaime, because it's growing near the vineyard, and therefore it has some of the taste of the vine, some of the grape tastes got into the dates. So Shmuel says, that's not good. Omar, makashe b'chamra kuli hai. Obviously, the dates are having an impact on the wine. If the wine is having an impact on the dates are having an impact on the wine, and it's going to make it into a less positive thing. And therefore, he tells the sharecropper, b'machar, Aisile Mikorayu. Rashi has two interpretations over here. He said, bring him Mikorayu. So the first one is, Mokar Shalhan, Vikwan, go bring me the roots. In other words, cut it out. Lishnachrina, Habili Kar, Shurach Lecho, go bring me the roots over here of this day tree, which are very soft and good to eat. And in this way, we'll get rid of the tree, and I'll have the benefit of eating this kar. So in either way, he told him to cut down this day tree because it's ruining the vineyard. Finally, the last Naisa, Rav Chisda Chaza Tole Begufne. Rav Chisda saw that there were some palm trees in the vineyard, Begufne. So Amale Larisi, so he told his sharecropper, Akrinu, go cut down the palm trees because they're ruining the vine. And he explained, Gufne Kani Dikle. The vines, we want to be very good because when I sell the grapes, I'll be able to go buy more karka because grapes are very good type of a produce. And it's again so interesting that we're learning about these things on Tu B'Shvat. So the grapes are very, very useful, and we can go and buy land with them. Gufne korni dikle. So the grapes can buy more karka than I could plant more palm trees. But the dikle, which produce the dates over here, lo korni gufne, they're not as expensive, and I'll never be able to sell enough of these dates in order to go buy karka to go build a vineyard. So the choice is the vineyard or the palm tree. Get rid of the palm trees and leave the vineyard, because the vineyard is more valuable than the palm trees. This is a great breakpoint. Ezus Hashem, we should all have a wonderful Tu B'Shvat, and it should be a wonderful day for Eretz Yisrael, Am Yisrael, and Ezus Hashem, there should be peace for all of Klal Yisrael.